Next song is called This I Believe, and again, it's one of those creeds where we can say, hey, as believers united under the one King, this is some of our fundamental truths, and I hope that this song gets you excited. You know, it just states some of those basic Christian beliefs that have changed everything for me. And I hope that you can say amen to them today, too. So let's sing This I Believe. again, I love some of the theology just represented in these Christian songs, the Christmas songs. It's kind of one of those cool moments where we're reminded of the same thing, but in so many different ways. You know, I have colleagues who say, Andrew, it's hard for me to get excited because this is our 40th year preaching about Christmas. I don't completely understand that while I understand that. Do you know what I'm saying? I get so excited that Christ came and changed my life and changed my future and changed my eternity. Right? And I hope that that never gets old to you, because he is a king who came to wash our feet. He's a king who came to serve. He's a king who came and taught us how to truly love. And again, as this song will say, there's no other king that's done that for me. Let's sing How Many Kings.
Thank you.
the time of year when we like to introduce some newer songs to you. And this is one that's kind of been on Allison's playlist for the last few years. How many know a band called Casting Crowns? Certainly amazing. I love the way that they write, and I love the words that they capture. Anyway, Allison and Kathy are going to share in a special, and then after that, Allison is going to pray.
All is calm, and all is bright, everywhere, but in your heart tonight. They're singing carols of joy and peace, but you feel too far gone and too far out of reach. Somewhere in your silent night, heaven hears a song your broken heart has cried. Hope is here just to lift your head, for love has come to find you. Somewhere in your silent night, from heaven's height to manger low, there is no distance the Prince of Peace won't go. From manger low to Calvary's hill, when your pain runs deep, His love runs deeper still. He has always loved you, child, and He always will. Somewhere in your silent night, heaven hears a song your broken heart has cried. Hope is here just to lift your head, for love has come to find you somewhere in your silent night. Lift your head, lift your heart. Emmanuel will meet you where you are. He knows your hurt, He knows your song your broken heart has cried. Hope is here just to lift your head, for love has come to find you somewhere in your silent night. Love will find you. Love will find you. Love will find you.
Last Sunday, Kirtland started our Advent series and spoke of the signs. He reminded us of how the Magi followed the star, how their knowledge of prophecy led them along the way, and of their joy when they found the Christ child. Today, I am going to talk about the next S in our series, which is surprise. There are good surprises. Cue the mic. They're having a baby very soon. That's a good surprise. But there are also bad surprises. It says, Thank goodness you're home. Somebody peed all over the Christmas tree. We have three pugs. This is not an unusual occurrence. I, for one, do not really like surprises. I think it's probably a control issue. No, it's a control issue. Surprises catch me off guard. They disrupt my plans. They throw me off balance. I like things just to roll along as expected. So perhaps you can imagine how crazy the last couple years have been for me, where around every corner there seems to be a surprise. Very unsettling for me, and I can't say that my responses have always been the best. How do you react when God interferes with your plans? Seriously, what do you do? How do you respond? Are you disappointed? Do you get angry? Do you look around and start comparing your circumstances with everyone else's and say, why me? Why me now? Truth be told, I've been guilty of all those things. So it kind of cracked me up when I didn't have a mic and I was like, here we go. Okay. God always uses me as an example. I have been guilty of all of those responses. Another response, though, is to step back. Take a deep breath and ask yourself, I wonder what God is doing in this. I wonder where God is. I wonder what he would have me learn. I don't step back very well. I like to have things my way. No bumps, no hiccups, no surprises. So today, I want to consider Mary's response to a miraculous, earth-shaking surprise, in hopes that we might find an example to follow when it's our world that is shaken in some significant and unexpected way. So let's read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. "For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Now, take a moment and think what your response might be if an angel appeared to you and told you that you are favored and that God is with you. Kay, dear sister, you are favored and God is with you. Molly, you are favored and God is with you. Jack, you are favored and God is with you. My response might be to just break down in tears. Favored? Favored? Oh, God is with me? Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough for each day? Mary is confused and disturbed. Other translations say that she was perplexed or upset, but my favorite for this is The Message. And Eugene Peterson captures it, how I think I would have felt. He writes, "She was thoroughly shaken. Indeed, it would certainly be a surprise to have an angel appear and say you are favored and God is with you." And the angel Gabriel sees her confusion and says to her, "Don't be afraid." You know, there was a post on the internet, I don't know if it's Pinterest or something, but it said that the words "fear not" or "don't be afraid" or some such thing occurred 365 times in the Bible, one for every day. Now, I'm skeptical, so I tried to fact check it, and then I went through about 37 different translations, and I never came up with 365. But regardless, wouldn't it be great to be reminded of that every day? Do not be afraid. God has this. Don't be afraid. A dear friend, knowing that I have been struggling of late, sent me Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 every day of the last week. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Thanks, Lola. Perhaps that scripture was one of the 365, because you can't be afraid if you're trusting God. So the angel says, "Don't be afraid," and then tells her, "For you have found favor with God." You have found favor with God. "And you will conceive and give birth to a son." Uh-oh. One more surprise. Okay, can you imagine what Mary might be thinking then? Okay. She lives in Nazareth, an unremarkable town, 400 or 500 people at the time that this occurs. It's a small town. And what do we surmise about small towns? Well, she's either related to everyone who lives there, or she certainly knows them. There are no strangers in small towns. She's maybe 14 or 15 years old, and she's betrothed to Joseph, but not married. William Barclay explains that there were three steps in Jewish marriage. The first was the engagement, and that was arranged by the parents through a matchmaker when the boy and girl were just kids. The second stage was the betrothal, which was the formal ratification of the marriage to be. And it usually happened about a year before they're married. And then, thirdly, there was the wedding itself, which lasted a whole week, and at which time the marriage was consummated. Mary and Joseph were betrothed, but not yet married. So Mary was still a virgin and was trying to figure out, how is this all going to work? Is this pregnancy to occur after the marriage, like in the next year? Is this a future prophecy? Does Joseph know? All sorts of questions would be going through her mind. And so she asked the angel, "How can this be?" Mary's initial response to the angel was to be thoroughly shaken, but her next step was to try to figure out the details. And so she asked the angel how this is possible. She isn't doubting. She's asking for understanding. And turning to God for answers is the right response. We often face the unexpected. Things happen that we didn't see coming. Changes occur to make our confidence less certain. Many of us are feeling that right now. In the midst of all of it, what does it mean to respond in faith? A good starting point is to believe that whatever is happening to us can be used by God. He's working something out in our lives and in this world that we are invited to be a part of. Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For Mary, becoming pregnant was going to cause a multitude of issues. Remember, small town Nazareth, just like Digby. How fast does it take for something to spread like wildfire around here? Years. Oh, very optimistic. Are you from here? When Rob and I first moved here, Rob called me at work one day. And after a minute or two, la, 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 la. He got around to what he was really going to tell me. He had been pulled over for speeding that morning. What was incredibly funny to me is that I already knew. Seriously. Someone had passed him on the road, recognized the car, saw the flashing lights, and thought, whew, this is too good to be true. And when they came into shop, they let me know. So that's how fast things can go. Rob knows how to drive fast, but that news beat his phone call to me. That's pretty awesome. So just like in Digby, Mary knows it won't take long for her family and the town to find out. And there would be sideways glances and rumors. You can almost hear the comments. Oh, sure. She's the chosen one. Yeah, right. She's not so special. I wonder who the father is. All of this. Oh, it would have threatened her security in the family. What if they toss her out? But even more than that, if Mary is pregnant and Joseph knows that it is not his child, then what will happen for the two of them? It would be scandalous. If Joseph didn't accept her explanation, her life was going to be into an unexpected tailspin. No, Joseph, I'm pregnant, but I'm still a virgin. You see, there was this angel. Yeah, okay. If I were in Mary's shoes, I'd start trying to negotiate with the angel. Listen, Gabriel, this is not going to be a good idea. It is going to ruin my life. No one will believe me. So maybe you could ask God if he could, like, find somebody else or maybe a different way. Like, I'm only 15. How can I be chosen to do this? Maybe someone else is better qualified? My life's going along pretty well right now. This is going to upset everything. Those are my words, not Mary's. All sorts of reasons or excuses would come to mind for me, because I have a long tradition of thinking I know better than God what should be happening in my life. But Mary isn't like me. She instead shows humility and complete trust. She responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." I am the Lord's servant. I'm just a servant. I'll choose to serve the Lord, and if this is his will, then I'll do it. I won't do what is just convenient or comfortable for me. I won't hesitate to acknowledge that my life is his, for his purposes and his glory, for his will, not my own. Wow. Did you hear that? Did you really hear that? She is already surrendered to God. She doesn't have to be talked into it. She doesn't laugh like Zechariah did when he received news that Elizabeth was going to have a child after years of barrenness. Mary believes, and she's ready for whatever he asks. If only my life could be more like that. If only I could acknowledge my doubts and fears and ask him to help me to understand. Gabriel didn't rebuke Mary when she asked the question, how? Instead, he answered her. He provided just enough for her to acknowledge who God is and how nothing is impossible for him. In all circumstances, I just have to show faith and obedience. I need to turn to God for the answers and accept that he may not give me the full explanation, despite what I want. After all, he is God, and I am not. But whatever he provides should be enough for me to walk in faith, trusting him. And we know the rest of God's rescue story for us, right? Just be obedient and everyone lives happily ever after. You guys should be going, what? That's not in the Bible. Because it's not. Mary, though obedient and faithful and willing to be God's servant, suffered mightily. She watched her son grow to be a man who was despised. She watched him be beaten and brutalized and crucified. She cried rivers of tears. That was her reward for being obedient. But she trusted God with her life and with her eternity. And because she did, God sent his son through her so that all of us might be saved. In his book, The Making of a Leader, J. Robert Clinton tells the following story. In 1895, Andrew Murray was suffering from a long-lasting and very painful back injury. One day, a woman in great trouble came to where he was staying and asked his hostess if he might have any counsel for her. He handed the hostess a piece of paper and said, "Give her this advice. I'm writing this to myself. It may be that she will find it helpful." And here is what he wrote. "In times of trouble, say, first, he brought me here. It is by his will I am in the straight place. In that I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace in this trial to behave as his child. Then say, he will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons he intends me to learn and working in me the grace he means to bestow. And last, say, in his good time, he can bring me out again. How and when, he knows. Therefore say, I am here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, and for his time." You see, there are no surprises for God, and we can find peace in that truth. Oswald Chambers wrote, "Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. And that's enough for me." Let us pray. Father God, this whole Christmas story is just overwhelming. It's amazing. We don't want to get comfortable with it. We don't want to think that Mary was just a puppet. We don't want to think that she didn't have her own wishes, her own life. But what a tremendous response. I am the Lord's servant. May we be reminded in these days where things can be challenging and not make sense, where we face all sorts of obstacles and struggles, may we be reminded of her response and make it our own. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.